Hey, let's see your Bible this morning. Word, let's see the word. Amen. Turn to Acts chapter 15. One, two, okay. Acts chapter 15. John made an announcement about the purity series. In 2 weeks, I'm going to start a purity series. And the purity series will be on dating, sexuality, marriage, everything you can imagine. I'm going to try to get in the 6 weeks. We're going to talk about homosexuality, sex before marriage, what is love, how you know somebody loves you. Ladies, you are going to have a foolproof definition of how you know a guy loves you. Guaranteed to work every time. We're going to talk about what people, especially ladies, should stop wearing to church. Because, you know, amen. Some of y'all just trying to look too cute, you know what I'm saying? But the series is going to be in the morning and the night. It's not just going to be the night, but the first Sunday night, we'll just have one service, and that's going to be with Audio Adrenaline and Uni Clan. And so, but the series will be in the morning and the night, so just come on out. And also, how many people here would be interested in going to an 8:30 service? Raise your hand real high. Great. We're going to be starting that October 8th. Yeah, that'll be fun. So we'll keep announcing that. But October 8th, there will be no child care. And the only reason we're not having child care is because we don't have the volunteers. The only reason. So if you ever want to complain to me, don't complain to me. Go sign up and volunteer, because I'm not going to go do it. So we're only waiting for people to volunteer. That's it. We barely have enough for 10:30 service right now. So if you have kids down there, the only reason your kids might not have enough people to play with is because we're not taking care of our business. Okay? So that is our responsibility. Our responsibility. And so, you know, when you hear announcements about getting involved, please don't see that as an option. And if you're a visitor, I'm not talking to you, but if you call this your church, that is not an option. You need to find out where you need to belong. And if you don't know where you're supposed to be, go do something until you figure it out. But don't sit around waiting, because it's not going to happen any other way. Okay? Turn to Acts chapter 15. Acts 15. How's everybody doing? You guys good? Okay. Acts 15. We're in Acts, verse 1. It says, a certain man came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all the things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. The question in this story we're going to read is that these guys are having a discussion on how you should be saved. You got to be circumcised. It's a physical, surgical procedure that little boys go through at 8 days old. They remove the foreskin of the male organ. And isn't it interesting that we know now that at 8 days, the human body has the highest potential of blood clotting. And that's why God said to circumcise a boy in the 8th day, because the bleeding will stop the quickest of his whole life that day. Ain't that something? And so it's a good thing. It'd be nice if there was no pain on that day too, you know. But they say here, in order for you, in the Old Testament, they would circumcise the Jews. And they thought if you were circumcised, you were a Jew. And now they're saying, if you want to be saved, you have to be circumcised. Now, you can go to religion and faith and different denomination, and people will have a different spin on how you get saved. First, let's talk about what salvation is. The Bible says that everybody has committed a sin. And the Bible says if you committed a sin, you're a slave to sin. That means you can't stop. Now, you may say, well, you know what? I had smoked pot one time. I don't do it anymore. Okay, well, one, there are some people who do it more. But two, if you've done one sin, you're going to be a slave to some other sin. You can't not sin at all by yourself. You are a slave to sin. It's impossible. You cannot not sin in your mind or with your mouth or with your ears. We are surrounded by sin, and our nature is sinful. Our flesh is sinful. So the Bible says that you are a slave to sin. Because you are a slave to sin, your slavery will take you to hell. That little boy in the video, he heard that night that if he died without having his sin forgiven, he would go someplace and burn forever. And he said, I'm only 8 or whatever he was. I don't want to burn forever. Therefore, I'm going to do whatever that man says. Okay? So salvation is being set free and delivered from the penalty or the consequence of your sin that the Bible says you have. That's salvation. Now, how do you get that? Well, first, we'll understand that salvation has no ethnic preference. God is an equal opportunity savior. If you knock, he will open the door. He's not going to ask you what your background is. He's not going to ask you how much money you make. He ain't going to ask to see your W-2. He's not going to ask you, you know, what degrees do you have. All he wants to know is, do you want his salvation? That's it. That's a good deal. You know, God is so good. So God says, I'm going to offer salvation freely to anybody. But it has nothing to do with circumcision. You're in Acts. Keep your finger there. Turn to Romans chapter 2, the very next book. Romans. Everybody say Romans. This book Romans is a letter written by Paul to the people in Rome. Very good. That's all it is. It's a letter written to the people in Rome. And he's dealing with this issue. We're going to look at verse 25. Look what it says in verse 25. It says, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who even with your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? Basically what Paul's saying is, look, if you say I'm part of the rock and I have a rock shirt on, so are you obeying the Bible? Are you obeying the Bible? If you're obeying the Bible, the rock shirt doesn't mean anything. Whether you have it or you don't have it. There are some people with a rock shirt or some other church shirt or some other church membership covenant that they sign. They're not doing what they're supposed to do according to the Bible. Well, that membership doesn't mean anything. And then there are other people who are doing everything according to the Bible and as far as whatever church they belong to, they're participating. Well, guess what? Then it means something. It's not what's on the outward. It's what's on the inward. Look what it says. This is very interesting. Look what it says in verse 28. Verse 28 in Romans 2. It says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. God wants to circumcise your heart. And circumcision is that of the heart. In the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. You know what he says? It's not the outward appearance. It's what happens on the inside. People say, well, I got to be saved. In order for me to be saved, I got to be baptized. No, baptism is an outward expression of something that happens on the inside. Your relationship with Christ is spiritual, not physical. Your spiritual relationship has physical ramifications. But your relationship with God is spiritual. So what you do is you get baptized in water as a sign of what happened on the inside. So what these guys are trying to say is, look, you got to be circumcised. You got to be circumcised. And then it says, look at verse. Turn back to Acts. Turn back to Acts chapter 15. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 it says, but some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise then them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. They got to do everything the Bible says in the Old Testament. Works. You see the Mormons going door to door? You see the Jehovah's Witnesses going door to door? They're doing works. If I do these things, I'm going to go to heaven. If I do these things, I'm going to be deemed good. When I was in Charlotte, one of the radio interviews I had, it was at the KISS FM, 99, whatever it is. And I go in there, and this woman's in there. We're doing an interview, and it's a totally secular station. And she's asking, "Oh, the crusade's going to be good. You're going to help kids, da da." And we're talking on the radio. And she goes, and I'm telling her the gospel. Jesus is the only way. Boom, 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 boom. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the bottom but through me. Bam, bam, bam. Everybody else is going to go to hell and burn forever. Kind of breaking it, you know, just kind of keeping it short here. So she says in the middle of the interview, "Well, what about being a Buddhist? I'm a Buddhist." She says, "Oh, you know, are you open to other beliefs?" I said, "No." She says, "Well, you're closed-minded." I said, "No, I'm not. I'm not closed-minded." I said, "Look, when you apply for this job, they gave you an application, piece of paper, right? They said, fill that out. What did you say? Nothing. You filled it out, just like they said. You didn't say, well, you know, I'm a Buddhist, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to change the words and, you know, I'm going to change. No, no, no. You did what they told you. When I walked in this office today, I came to the receptionist. The girl at the front desk told me to wait. I waited. She told me to go in your room. I went in the room. If I would have said, no, I'm going anyway, she would have called the cops. When you go to heaven and you die and stand before God, God's going to say, did you do what I said? He's not going to ask you, did you do what you wanted to do? So she said, well, I have my point of view and my opinion and what I think. I said, look, girlfriend, what you think, what you think is irrelevant. God did not ask your opinion. He don't care about your opinion. And guess what? He don't care about my opinion either. The Bible says, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said that. Buddha died, didn't he? He's dead. He didn't rise from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. So how are you going to ask a dead man to give you what he don't have? So we started. We went back and forth. It was on the radio, and then it was a tape show, and then we ended the interview, and then we continued this conversation on out the door. And that's when we got into the door thing, because we were standing at the door, and that's when I was telling the illustration about me coming in the office and the girl at the reception's hearing all this. Then we go outside, and we're still going back and forth, and she told me she believed in reincarnation. I said, where do you get that from? She says, well, deja vu. There you go. Where do you get that from? So I asked, I said, well, just for the sake of humoring me, what were you in your last life? She said, I think I was a queen. I said, what happened? I mean, because if you reincarnate to try to get it better, she went backwards. So what happened? She went. I wasn't supposed to get into all those beliefs till later in my sermon, but it just kind of grabbed me. You know what he says? Verse 5. It is necessary to convince them, to command them to keep the law of Moses. That means if I do this, if I do this, if I do this, I will go to heaven. If I get reincarnated 5 times and get it right one time. When I was on the plane going to Promise Keepers just Friday, I sat next to a guy who's a Mormon. We talked for about an hour, and then I asked him, because he was talking about the Lord, and, you know, he was talking about God and everything, but he was kind of missing something. You know, just something ain't right. And so I'm kind of, didn't know where he was coming from. So I said to him, do you go to church? You know, it's kind of like, he said, yeah, I go to a Mormon church. I knew it. So I said, tell me how y'all get to heaven. And he told me, you know, they tithe and they share their faith, and if they don't get to a certain level of goodness, they go to there's three heavens, the celestial heaven, which is another earth like this. And what they do is that they go back to the first level of heaven to share their faith with other people until they get it right. And then they go to the next, his three heavens. And I'm listening to all this, and I'm going, intelligent dude, really nice guy. I'm thinking, you believe that? You really believe that? And everybody has that thing. If I do the law of Moses, if I go door to door, if I share my faith, maybe I could be one of the 144,000. And that's what these guys says. Let me tell you, look at Romans chapter 4. Go back to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. I'm so happy to be back here. Hey, thank you very much. Security. I was in Oklahoma yesterday at the Promise Keepers, and there's 14,000 men sitting in this arena. It was packed all the way around. And guys were shouting stuff out the whole time. I mean, it was like every speaker went up. Guys were shouting. It was, but I really appreciate whoever said that. I'm very happy. Was that you? God bless you. If you are a man, please sign up and go to the Promise Keep event in L.A. And if you have a son, please bring your son. Because my message there was to the dads. I spoke twice. Before lunch, I spoke to the dads to tell them to love their sons. Then I spoke to the sons and told them to love their dads. And then I got down and asked the sons to tell on the microphone why their dad belongs in the Hall of Fame of Dads. You have to bring your son. I could honestly tell you, last week I cried at least 10 times preparing those messages because of the stuff. And I don't know if anyone cried when I said it, but I was crying thinking about it. And if you have a son and you're a guy, please go to this Promise Keeper event. My dad's coming from Florida. I'm going to have my dad there and my son there. And please go. It's going to be amazing to see. We up there, 14,000 men singing together and getting saved. I mean, guys, the guy did the altar call. It was beautiful because all the people came forward. And then he said, I want everybody in here to look to the person to the right and look to the person to the left and say, if you want to go, I'll go with you. It was deep. And then a whole nother flood of guys came. And you saw all these dads and their sons walking down getting saved. Bring your dads, whoever, your dad's sons, friends, but if you, I will encourage you highly to go. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. The question is, can you be saved by obeying rules? It says, what then shall we say? That Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed. Everybody say believed. The Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. You cannot get to heaven by doing good works. You get to heaven, as we're going to see in a minute, turn back to Acts, by faith you receive his grace. Look what it says in verse 6. It says, the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. They said, now, can we get to heaven by works? Can we get to heaven by obeying the law? Do we have to be circumcised? Does it make a difference? And in verse 7, and when they heard the dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God who knows the heart. Everybody say God who knows the heart. Everybody take their right hand and put it on the left side of their heart, their chest. Your heart is on your left side. Guess what? God knows what's in there. You know what the Bible says? That you and I don't. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says God knows. You may be helping somebody, God knows your motive. You may be sitting over here in church coming early, God knows your motive. You may be getting your hair all cut, yeah, God knows your motive. Driving a little car, leaning to the side, got your little mini skirt on, little pumps or whatever it is you wear, God knows your motive. I had to stop wearing pumps because, you know, my heart was just wasn't right. Let me read a verse to you. 1 Timothy 2:19, it says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his." God knows. God knows. Don't worry about this person, that person, your pastor. God knows if you belong to him. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7, that God does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. God looks at your heart. The Bible says in Mark chapter 9, it was an interesting story. They led a paralytic through the roof. I think I told you this story a couple weeks ago, if not. And the paralytic came through the roof. And Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." And the guy got up and walked. And the Bible says that the religious was sitting there like this in their mind. Let me read it to you. It says, "Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven.' And at once some of the scribes," the religious, the critical, critics, "said within themselves," not with their mouth, within themselves, "This man blasphemes. He lies." Jesus, knowing their thoughts. Oh, that's a bad brother right there. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. Imagine if everything you thought came out in words. Ooh, imagine that. Just imagine what would come out of your mouth when you meet people. How you doing? Just imagine. That was a really nice song. You really can sing real well. Just imagine. Jesus knows. He knows your thoughts, he knows your heart, he knows your feelings, he knows your fears, he knows your needs, he knows everything. Can't fool him. You know what makes me laugh so hard is people when I meet people and they realize I'm a pastor and they try to fake me out. You know, "Hey pastor, you know, I went to church, and I did. They start telling me all this junk. Or they start telling me stuff to appear to be like they're doing good. And maybe they are. But one, God knows. It doesn't matter what I think. And God's sitting there going, "Why are you lying to that boy right there? Why are you speaking lies?" God knows your heart. And look what it says in verse 8. "For God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us, and made no distinction between them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" But "we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they." This is how you are saved: by faith through grace. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. By grace you have been saved. What does that mean? Mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. In other words, you deserve to go to hell. Mercy says, don't give them hell. It withholds what you should get. Justice is getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. See, if my kids do something bad and I need to discipline them, whatever that discipline may be, I got a whole book. I got codes and, you know, a whole list of stuff I can do, you know. And I say, according to your crime, you need to get punishment B. Mercy says, I'm not going to give you punishment B. When I was talking to the sons yesterday, I was telling them that if they think their dad is mean, a lot of times they, "My dad is mean, he's so strict." I was telling them, "Look, your dad loves you. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't care about disciplining you, whether he's right or wrong. Because the other thing I said is dads are not perfect. They just do the best they can. And it's true. We do. No one's perfect. Not even the kids nor the dad. But my point is that punishment and discipline better be in your house. But mercy says, I am not going to give you what you deserve. Grace says, I'm going to give you what you don't deserve. Because of God's grace, he gives of salvation when you don't deserve it. You can't do A, B, C, D, E and deserve God's love. You can't. You can't pay him back. You can't earn it. And you know what's so good about that? If you can't earn it, it means you can't lose it. Because let me tell you something. If God loves you unconditionally, don't think that if you do one thing wrong, he's going to take his love away from you because you did a million things wrong before he gave it to you in the first place. But see, the devil got us on this kind of positive, negative, credit, debit mindset. The Bible says by God's grace, his unconditional favor, his divine love, he is aggressively, intentionally seeking to love you. How do you receive it? By faith, you receive it. You open up your heart and say, God, I receive your love. That's all you got to do by faith. I believe that I'm a sinner unworthy. I believe that Jesus died on my behalf when he didn't have to. I believe he graciously surrendered himself, gave his life for me graciously, died graciously, was buried and rose from the dead for me when I wasn't thinking about him. And by faith, I receive the forgiveness and love he is offering me. That's it. That's it. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Lord, by faith, I receive your faith, your forgiveness. By faith, I receive your love. That's how you're saved. And these guys read it right here. Look what it says in verse 11. It says, we believe that through the grace of the Lord, not circumcision, not obeying rules, not doing this and that, that by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Here's the problem with all the religions that are works-based versus Christianity, which is grace-based. Christianity being the only grace-based faith. The problem is that all the other religions that think they have to do good, those people do good because they think the more good I do, the better I'm chance of getting to heaven. You know what our problem is? We got it free, therefore we don't got to work. If I had to poll, I mean, give my opinion. This is my opinion. I haven't done a study on this, but I'm going to give my opinion. And my opinion is not worth anything. If you don't want to take it, I preface it by that. But I'll say this. If I had to take 10 people from the Muslim faith, from Buddhism, from Jehovah's Witness, from Mormon and Christianity, my bet would be the Christians would be the less educated. The Christians would be the less diligent in their faith. Why? Because from my experience, and my experience means nothing, but this is something that I've experienced and seen, is that people who receive it, they figure, you know what? I'm in. I'm in. God bless you. Hey, praise the Lord. I can do whatever I want. Because God's going, hey, if I don't pray, God will take, he'll make up for it. If I don't read my Bible, say, hey, God still loves me. Those other people, I got to pray 5 times a day. I got to go door to door. I got to deny myself. I have to tithe. That's what they say. That's what they believe. If they do those things, you know what the sad part about it? Our motivation, we should have more motivation because our God is the right God. And our God loved us and he wants us to do those things which he says we're supposed to do. He wants us to do those things because we love him. That's why. We love him. When I talk about this purity thing and I start talking about how girls dress, hey, you can say, look, what's wrong with me wearing this and that? Does that mean I'm not saved? It doesn't mean I'm saved, no. And you know what? You'll go to heaven if you're saved. But we're not talking about if you do this, you're going to be saved. We're talking about being godly and having and not stumbling your brother. Looking at the whole Bible. Being understanding God's heart towards your temple and other brothers' minds and hearts. Amen, brothers? Amen. You girls will say, what is he talking about? You'll find out. You'll find out. Yeah. But you know, as Christians, we always take the shortcut. Why? Because we're saved, and God loves us so much. What we do is we take advantage of God. That's all it is. I talked to some Muslims. There's Muslims and there's the Nation of Islam, which are followers of Elijah Muhammad. Malcolm X was of the Nation of Islam, and I was in Atlanta talking to these two guys. They had been in the Nation of Islam about a year or two. These guys came to my car, and they were selling bean pie. They had their little magazines, little incense, and I said, come here, sell me something. Yo, brother, let me talk to you, man. They started talking to me about their book and their beliefs. These guys knew so much Bible, knew so much Quran, knew so much about biology, skin thickness, brain weight. I was so fascinated by how much they knew. Only been 2 years. And I said, brother, I wish Christians were like that. When they got saved, they got in the Word. Bam, 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 bam. And church wasn't just a Sunday thing. They gave God a little $10 for church. Here you go, God. Here's a tip. Do ministry. Buy buildings. Go save the world. Pray a little 5 minutes. Those guys pray 5 times a day. They dress the way they're supposed to dress. They read their books. They get trained. They go help other people. That's what the Bible says we should do. And they're wrong. That breaks God's heart. You know what the Bible says? God's judgment is going to start right in his house. It's going to start right here. And you know what's going to start in this house? It's going to start up on this stage. You don't think that the Bible says that? He's coming to me first. He's going to sit me down first. He's going to sit all the pastors down first. Say, one, how did you live and what did you teach him? Did you teach him a soft thing? You know, that's why you go to some churches and the pastor don't want to offend you. He don't want you to come back. He doesn't. Hey, forget all that mess. I can't not offend him. And your life should not be offending him. And what happens is these people who have all these false religions, they are working so hard to get in. We should be working so hard to please him. Because when you die, all you want to hear him say is, well done, good and faithful servant. You know what? You did all you can do. I was watching the Olympics yesterday, and I was watching the triathlon. It was the only thing that was, I was watching what was on. But it was amazing. These women, they just finished the bike ride. They'd done the swim. They finished the bike ride, and they had to run 6 miles. I mean, girls were in shape. And these girls, I mean, they were running. And it came down to two girls, this Australian woman and a Switzerland woman. Making a long story short, the last mile, it was just them, last half mile. They were tired beyond tired. And the Australian woman, she was the world, the I guess ranked number one in the world, world champ, whatever. She tried to pass the Switzerland woman. And the Switzerland woman said, nah. She just jumped it up one notch. And I'm talking about when you're tied, where you're, you know, they were just, they were giving all they had. And at the end, the Swiss woman pulled away and won by maybe, I don't know, 100 feet or whatever, 30 feet, whatever it was. And they interviewed, and she says, you know, when I trained, and when I was trained, I was thinking about her. And there was three women she had. She named three of them. She says, it's either going to be this one, this one, this one. And when I would run, I was thinking, when they get next to me, here's what I'm going to do. Do you know how many hours and how much sacrifice and pain that woman went through to get a medal that's not even gold? Do you know the gold medal's not gold? Isn't that a shame? It's not 100% gold? That's the biggest joke of the Olympics in the world. Isn't that a crazy? That is, you didn't know that, did you? It is not 100% gold. She gets this thing, right? It's going to rot. The ribbon's going to fall apart. Believe me, as a kid, I wanted to be in the Olympics so bad, and I think it's a great, great, great event. I'm not trying to say that. What I'm trying to say is this, compared to serving God, God's streets will be gold. They will be gold. Heaven will be eternal. The waters will be living. So why don't we do our best? Here's my homework for you, and my homework just changed. If you have your bulletin, please get out your homework. It's so good to be back. I've had so many people ask me, how's your church? And all I say is that it is a whole lot more fun than I ever thought. And they go, well, how's it going? I go, it's going great. And they're like, I said, this is going great. One, I was going to tell you to share the gospel with somebody this week, but I really didn't finish, but I write that down. Share the gospel with somebody this week. And you know how you do it? Just get anybody and sit them down and practice. Say, would you mind me practicing leading someone to the Lord on you? What's your name? Jay, can we talk just for a minute? You know, in the mall, sit down. You know, you're not buying anything. You know, you don't shop, like to shop. Can I practice sharing the gospel with you? He's either going to say no, or he's going to say yes, right? Or he may say it in a funny way, you know, no, bleakity bleep bleep, or yes. If he says no, you go to somebody else. Say, listen, I just want to practice. You can ask me any question you want. Just act like I'm trying to get you saved. Okay. No pressure on you or them, right? But you practice. Do that this week, okay? Do that this week. But here's the other thing. I want you to reflect on your life and identify one area in your life that you are kind of cheating God out of your best. I could tell you two areas right now. One is prayer and one is giving financially. You could test those two things. But, you know, are you giving God your best in your Bible study? In other words, are you learning more and more of the Bible? Are you getting better and better at sharing your faith? Are you serving God? Let's do a little poll real quick. And don't feel embarrassed to raise your hand because you won't be alone. How many of you in here are not at all serving in any ministry in this church and you call this your church? Raise your hand. Go ahead. Don't lie. This is church on Sunday. Many of you are not raising your hand, and I think that you're just not raising your hand because you're embarrassed. So since about 200 raised their hand, let's all try it one more time. If you are not serving in any ministry in this church, and you call this your church, just raise your hand real high and keep it up. There you go. Look at that. Now that's better. Okay, look at it. Don't be picking on me. Well, let me say this. Whatever your reason is, it's not good enough to keep you out of a ministry for too much longer. You have to serve God. And you don't serve him by just showing up here and listening to me. Okay? So I would have you pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? And if you don't know what that is, do something. And you'll figure it out later. Go usher. You know how much help they need in the child ministry? Little kids. Okay? But find an area in your life and say, you know what, Lord? I'm not memorizing scripture. We have a memory verse every week. Ephesians 2:8 is the one for this week. Ephesians 2:8. I'm not in a small group. I'm not accountable to anybody. You know, when you do all those things, guess what happens? Your life changes. That's why we do them. That's why we do them. That's why my wife will tell you, I sit up all night long, writing notes, getting ideas. Let's do this, let's do this. And she wish I could turn it off. It's because guess what? You are going to benefit. We just had a training yesterday, and I don't see anybody here who could tell me how many people were at the training. Was anybody there? How many people were there? 100 people went to be trained to start small groups. 100. We already have 50. Amen. You have no idea how ridiculously incredible that is. I have a friend that has a church that's 25 years old. They have 25 small groups. Now, that's not their focus, but you know what? It's ours, and hopefully we're going to have a whole bunch more here coming up. But you know what? Those people are going to be sitting in their homes by themselves unless you go. So I want you to write down, Lord, what am I slacking in? Don't take advantage of God's love. Please don't do that. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for salvation. That it's by grace we're saved. Lord, we do pray that we can do our best to show our appreciation by working hard for you. by being diligent. And Lord, all the stuff we do for you is not going to save us, but it's going to purify our heart. It's going to bring joy to our life. It's going to be a witness to the world. We don't have to work for salvation. We work from salvation. No pressure, just love. Thank you for that. Thank you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When you leave today, we have 50,000 of these green flyers. And this flyer is only for the night event, even though we're doing the Purity Series. Please pick these up. Oh, one more thing. Please listen to this. Next week, if we could just keep the music, I just want to make sure they hear this. Next week, I'm going to be talking about how to be blessed. I read a book called The Prayer of Jabez. We're going to have those books here for you if you want to get one next week. You can't get them in the stores. I don't think they're always sold out. But the book basically says to ask God to bless you, and he does. It will change your life. So if you want to be blessed, and let me tell you something, it's biblical that you be blessed. It's biblical. It's not selfish at all. And I'm going to teach you what it all means next week. Let me read the verse to you real quick, because it's all in this verse. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Jabez called on the Lord and said, oh, that you would bless me indeed, or bless me a lot, and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be on me, with me, and that you would keep me from evil, so that I may not cause pain. You know what the Bible says right after that? God granted him what he requested. That's what I want. I want it for three things. I want that for me. I want that for me. I want that for you. And I want that for us. So we're going to talk about that. And if you get come and listen, hopefully, and you pray that prayer, 1 Chronicles 4:9, read it this week. Read it every day. And just say, Lord, bless me. 1 Chronicles 4:9, bless me. Bless me. But here's what you got to do. When you ask God to bless you, here's what you got to do. Watch this. You got to open up your eyeballs and look for the blessing. And when something happens, and don't go, ooh, that could be God. It's God, fool. It's God. Okay? Let's all stand and sing a song.